Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
We got a bunch to get to right off the top here on the Extra Point Show. First of all, I was just informed. I didn't know this. I was doing a bunch of stuff today, and I try to catch you guys as much as I can in the morning, you and Jeremy, that is Joe. And I was just told you had Lindy on today. I had no idea. How'd that go?
It went great. He was awesome to talk to. I thought it was weird talking to him. It was surreal talking to him for sure.
Yeah, there was a different. How did that go? Probably a little different.
For you
than Jeremy, I would think.
A different energy when when we interview McDermott on this show, or when we were talked to Don Granato in the past. I don't know. I didn't even expect this, but the moment his voice was on the air, it hit me different. Like I don't want to say it was nervous, but there was a different tension in the air for me because he's my coach. He's the coach from the moment I remember hockey until I'm in high school. So yeah, it was super cool having Lindy on, and I'm definitely excited for him on those Tuesdays throughout the season.
What did he say about the team or anything? Anything that was noteworthy for you?
He agreed. This is not on the Sabres. He agreed with me that MacKinnon and Makar are the greatest watch to watch all time because they literally move at a different speed. I love talking to him about the playoffs. He's watching it, and you can just tell, super into it and picking up cues from other teams. But I liked what he had to say in center, that it is vital, it's critical that you have especially your top two centermen kind of driving the bus. He didn't use those words exactly, but the comparison to what he had in New Jersey, Hughes developing into elite number one center once Lindy got there, and then Nico Hischier is a really good number two. And kind of thinking about Thompson and Cousins, and he talked about Thompson as a guy that he think has the elite offensive capability because we've already seen it. And he even was, you get a lot of coaches who just don't want to say anything that's even remotely critical of a player, even when it wouldn't be controversial, or they would just be scared of saying it. Mm-hmm. And there was Lindy today, he's not as offensive as Tage, but that's okay because that we want this, this, and this from him. And just even that, it's not even really that candid, but it's just, I'm just going to talk about hockey with you. And sure, I'm going to say in front of everybody that Cousins doesn't have as much offense to his game as Thompson does, and there's no one in the world that would even disagree with it. So why should you be afraid to say that in the first place? So just... Even just Lindy, you can just tell. He's just talking hockey.
That's awesome. Good for you guys. Good for him. Is that I'm sure that interview's on demand, WGR550.com. Yep. People can check that out. That's Lindy Ruff on today with Jeremy White and Sneaky Joe. That's awesome right there. Speaking of hockey, did you see Andrew Peters' tweet today, this morning?
I missed that. What did Andrew say?
Okay. Well, there's a reason I'm bringing this up. He wrote, Owen Power for Mitch Marner, who says no? And what's funny about that is, I'm going to tell you something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I was texting with a Leafs fan friend of mine. And I said, man, what is going on? And I'm going to read you exactly word for word the tweet, the text back to me, okay? He said, ugh, don't get me started. Super disappointed. Austin is just sick. Sounds like a bad virus. It happens. But Mitch Marner may have to be shipped out. He's been bad. And then he wrote, this is like 3 days ago, Marner for Owen Power would be a great deal for both teams. And that's a Leafs fan friend of mine. And now I have Andrew Peters writing that. What do you think about that?
I love it. I don't think you're getting Mitch Marner for Owen Power personally. But sure, like I think sitting here right now, he's going to be traded. I think Marner is going to be the big
whale.
Okay,
make sure you say which guy when you say
Marner,
he, who
thank
do you,
you
mean?
Sorry, Marner. Okay. I think Marner is going to get traded. There's infighting on the bench, and there's been two weird things. You've had two of their three big three, I would say, like the core young group in Toronto of Matthews, Nylander, and Marner. You had the other day yelling at each other on the bench, and then Matthews disappearing in the third, and I'm not buying for a second that a doctor pulled a team's best player during the second intermission of a playoff game because of the flu. That does not happen in professional sports, let alone the NHL, where guys play through everything in the playoffs. So I'm not buying that. I think something happened between the second and third periods of that last Leafs-Bruins game that, not a surprise, we just saw them doing it on the bench like 2 minutes before they went to the locker room. So I can only imagine what happened there. And then Nylander, of course, was missing for the first three games of the series, and nobody could figure it out, whether it was an injury or whether it was some disciplinary action by the team. So there's just a weird series for Toronto. They're about to lose. They're about to go 1-8 in playoff series as this core has been constructed. And I think time's up. You now have all this extra stuff on top of the results. How long do you get to win as a group? And I think they're great, and I think they've been completely screwed over by the playoff format over the last 8 years. But whatever, playoff format's not changing anytime soon. You don't win in this playoff format. And you look at their guys, who do you move? Tavares has 1 year left at 11. Nobody wants him anyway at 34 at $11 million. It's too much money. So he, to me, is like separate from this. Matthews, Nylander, and Marner. Well, Matthews just signed a 4-year deal, $13.25 million, and that
and
would
Austin
be...
he's Austin Matthews.
Exactly. He's Austin Matthews. The Leafs aren't going to want to do that in any world. So right. Then you have Nylander. Nylander has always been the guy that everyone's always thought, well, that's the guy that'll eventually fall on the sword. Well, he isn't even into his new extension yet. His first year of his $11.5 million extension kicks in next season. Meanwhile, there's Mitch Marner sitting there, 1 year left on his deal before unrestricted free agency at $10.9 million. I think Marner's the one that's going to go.
I mean, it makes sense from their standpoint. What about from the Sabres standpoint? Something like that. Like, to go, would you want to, are you willing to shop around Owen Power to get a forward the caliber of Mitch Marner?
I'm going to assume for this conversation that I have an indication or even an agreement that he is going to sign with me, and I'm not just trading Owen Power for a 1-year rental.
He does have a no movement. I just want to make sure, I understand that for anybody, like in Andrew's replies, it's when he says, who says no? Well, Mitch Marner says no. I get it. Like, we're trying to have fun here though, right? Like, would that make sense for both teams? I guess is the point. Because when people say Mitch Marner would say no, yeah, he may say, I don't want to do that. We get it. But what about just from the pure hockey standpoint is how I'm approaching it.
And by the way, I'll get the pure hockey standpoint is where I'll spend most of this, but just quickly on that. Marner, like, use the same logic that most Sabre fans and even myself have used for convincing a guy from Toronto to come to Buffalo. This is close to home, and especially that guy who has been dealing with the Toronto machine for 8 years, being a little bit more under the radar nationally, it wouldn't be locally, but nationally,
right?
You know, that might appeal to him a little bit, especially if the Sabres would pay him whatever he wants, which I imagine they would. So Marner, I think you can get to that part of it. But for hockey?
Well, can I say this on exactly what you just said? My Leafs fan friend, his next set of texts to me about this was exactly what you said. He said, the Sabres need a veteran playmaker. Leafs need a solid D. Marner is close to home, but still without the pressure of Toronto
right.
for that.
Right, exactly. So, and the age works, 27 years old. He's not so old that I wouldn't be willing to pay him. He's so good. I mean, for hockey, yes. Like, power, I'm still optimistic about. It's only 2 years in, and we saw how long it could take guys. Hedman took a little longer than some other top picks. Dahlin took a few years. Like, it happens with even Norris-level defensemen. So, power, I'm high on. But this team's ready for a final piece or even, like, a core piece. Like, I think Mitch Marner would step onto the ice tomorrow and arguably be the Buffalo Sabres best player. Like him and Dahlin, they'd be neck and neck. The playoffs are where he gets criticized because the numbers are not the same there. But for regular season, which is what we care about at the moment for the Sabres, this guy gets, I mean, three 90-point seasons. He probably would have had two more, three more even, because in the last 6 years, the years where he didn't get to 90 points, this year where he got to 85 in 69 games, and then the two COVID-shortened years where he had 67 points in 59 games and 67 points in 55 games. I mean, if he played full seasons, we might be talking about a guy that would be going on six straight 90-point seasons. He would be the best forward on the Sabres tomorrow. So, yes, I time to win. Go get a player that talented. And, sure, if I got to sacrifice waiting to see how good power is, I would be okay with that.
It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll take your calls on this if you'd like. You could chime in. Like, that's kind of an interesting... I just find it weird that Andrew tweeted that. I had a Leafs fan friend who's very invested in the Leafs text me that the other day. Mitch Marner for Owen Power. What do you think? I thought it was really interesting. So maybe Sabres fans, Buffalo fans have thoughts on that. You can call us at 803-0550. We'll get connected with you that way. I got one more thing on Sabres and Leafs, but I do want to bring up that the Jaguars have just released Zay Jones.
Ooh.
Any interest there?
Okay. Without doing any digging yet on what the last year or two's been like, other than knowing him from fantasy, I would say yes. Okay. Like, on the surface, he's someone I'd want to look more into immediately upon hearing that he's available. Yeah.
I wonder what the Bills would think, though. You know, that's a team that shipped him out not long after he was a second-round draft pick.
There have been stories, though, about... I'm trying to remember who did the stories. Maybe it was even Tyler Dunn, but I'll find
he
that.
He did a story on Zay.
Okay.
That.
Yeah, that's right. That sounds right. About how much he really has grown from his time in Buffalo, like how much he needed to mature, and that when he left Buffalo, he kind of got the kick in the pants to do that. So I'll say up front, I hated him when he was here. On the field, never liked the player. Drop problems, wasn't someone that got open all the time, was pretty good yak guy, but not like so good. Like, I did not like him at all when he was on the Bills. But from what I've seen since, like, I thought he was pretty good at the Raiders. I thought he was pretty good with the Jaguars. And right now, if you give me pretty good, I feel like I could use a guy on my receiver core that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's not a burner. Again, he's kind of in the mold of the guys they have a little bit, though, isn't he? That's the thing. Isn't it redundant? The Bills talked about redundancy, and he is a bit redundant. He's more of a possession guy. He's not beating anybody down the field, really.
Right?
Yeah. And remember what kind of got him traded in the first place. And again, I respect your point and what you said. Like, guys change, and the Bills know that. It's not like, you know, I don't know if that would be held against him forever, but remember what happened right before he got traded? He didn't fight for a ball against the Patriots, like two of them maybe it was even.
And
I just don't know if that's something that this regime, which, by the way, was the regime that traded him, would even go back and say, like, yeah, we just can't have that. Like, that's the way it ended here. But you never know, based on everything you just said, which is right. But he also doesn't really change the dynamic of the room that much, other than just add depth. Really?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know what he would be for me? He would be a better insurance policy if Keon Coleman is not going to be able to play the X to the degree that they need. I think he's going to get the opportunity to, but a lot of the analysts that I like on Coleman think he's going to be a good big slot player in the league. But that's not what Brandon Bean said. Brandon Bean said that he's going to play the X, and I think that is going to be very precarious. And if that doesn't work, then you've got Mac Hollins, but I'm looking at Zay Jones, and I guess I don't know, like, X versus Z, whatever. But I do know outside versus slot. And in the past couple of years with the Jaguars, he's been playing a lot more on the outside than he has in the slot. So that's what he would be for me, is a insurance policy if Coleman is not going to be ready to just take the bull by the horns.
At 10:30, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Josh Furlong. Josh, he actually was on with us last year when the Bills drafted Dalton Kincaid. He writes for Utah Sports. He's a beat writer for Utah Athletics. And obviously the Bills just drafted Cole Bishop, the safety. But also they signed this guy named Keon Bills, right? We talked about
yes.
him yesterday.
Keaton
he's
Bills,
also
right?
out of Utah. What is that? Keaton? Sorry, I said Keon. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. Thinking of Keon Coleman. Keaton Bills. But, you know, we could talk with him about, you know, Cole Bishop and what his role was at Utah, but also what are the Bills getting in Keaton Bills. So Josh Furlong will join us at the bottom of the hour. One more question on Leafs Sabres. Which existence is better as a sports fan? What the Leafs have endured yeah. with their high-end talent and pressure and expectations of all these playoff failures? I did not realize until someone tweeted out yesterday, and I apologize for not knowing who this was. I have to go back and look. That it's the even though the Sabres have missed the playoffs for 13 straight years, they have four times as many playoff series wins since the last Leafs win. I mean, in that time.
Uh-huh.
Or since the lockout. Since the lockout, which goes back 20 years now, 19 years.
Yeah.
Goes back 19 years. The Sabres have four times as many playoff series wins as the Leafs, despite missing for 13 straight seasons. Now, that sucks, missing 13 straight years. It is the longest drought of professional sports tied with the New York Jets. We've lived it with the Bills. We're living it with the Sabres. It sucks. I don't think there's any existence where that's you like that in any regard.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about the expectations in Toronto, the teams they've had, the talent they've had, getting Mike Babcock in there, drafting Austin Matthews, all the Tavares, all this major talent, and how many times they've fallen short, what is a better existence, right? Would you rather have that? To a degree, it's kind of like the Bills over the last 5 years, right?
I was just going to say that. It's kind of reminiscent. Like,
right.
It's a little different in that the Bills, honestly, like the Bills' existence in this window of we know we're incredible, but we can't get past Kansas City has been a shorter period of time than this Leafs' existence has been. And also, the Bills get further in the playoffs, even if it's only by a round, but that's maybe more has to do with, again, the format. Because the Leafs, like, they do lose to the same teams. You know, like, for them, they might have two Kansas Cities, though. They can't get past Boston, and they hadn't been able to get past Tampa. But it's more Boston. Like, if they lose to the Bruins here, in this 8-year period, where they're about to be 1-8 in playoff series, assuming they lose, This will be the third time against Boston that they go out in the first round. And that doesn't count the couple of years before that where Kessel and Phaneuf were there. They blew that game 7 to Boston. So the Bruins, they can't get by no matter what they do. So I don't know. Like, I think I'd still have to take them, though, because as much as you feel like you're just you're living the same life, it's Groundhog Day over and over and over and over and over again, you still get the regular season, I guess, right? Like, I know you're going to get let down in the playoffs every single time, but you have more, I think you have more passion. I think the Sabres, yep. you missed the playoffs 13 years in a row, and even if we still sit here and callers call in, there are some out there that are still getting mad about them or have strong opinions on them, want to see them do certain things. There's also a segment of the Sabres fan base that's checked out That's happened. There's a segment. Right. I don't know how big the segment is, but that's happened. And the Leafs, I don't know if they've checked out, and then you just have everybody angry all the time, which I might say is even better just because you still have the passion there.
Right. I think the way I look at it, I think the Leafs, I would prefer the Leafs' existence despite all of the failures because you still think you have a chance, right? Like, yep. At least you think you have a chance. You go into the playoffs thinking, okay, maybe this is our year. Maybe we can finally do this. They win a first-round series last year. Like, okay, here we go. Then they lose. But at least you think you're in it. You don't know how it's going to end. It seems like we've known how the season's going to end for the Sabres by January, basically, right? Over the last 13 years. I mean, you get 3 months of, hey, maybe this is, I guess it's not. You know, and that's just, you're playing out the string. It kind of doesn't matter. And what you said about checking out, that's right. Joe, it reminds me of during the Bills drought, how much did we hear they're losing a generation of fans? And I always pushed back against that and said, look, I get it. Like, kids are growing up like, oh, mm-hmm. I want to root for the Patriots, or I want to root for whoever I see on TV that's winning, not the Bills. All it takes is to win a couple of seasons, and those kids are back. Their families are there. They're grown-up Bills fans in Buffalo. You may lose a few. You're not losing a generation of fans. I get why people say that. And what you said about the Sabres, this is the same thing. Like, you could talk to a lot of little kids who might like McDavid and the Oilers, obviously, or yep. whatever team out there. But all it takes is give me a little something to taste. You're not losing a whole generation. You're getting them back. They're just looking for something to cling on to in Buffalo they haven't had.
Right. But it does happen with some people, even if it's not a lot.
Sure.
Like my brother is prime example. Like, I believe he's an Eagles fan today and not a Bills fan because of the drought. If the Bills were good when he was a kid, I don't think he'd be an Eagles fan. But he grew up an Eagles fan because the Bills were always terrible. And I don't know, again, that could be only a select few, though. That I have a personal experience, so it's going to feel like it's a thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be. Because you're right, like, the moment the Bills got good, it was even really before, right? Just because of the tailgating scene. That, like, all my friends were going to games, even at the end of the drought, even when Tyrod was the quarterback. Like, everyone was going, everyone was Bills fans, and everyone was right there, ready to go nuts the moment Allen was their quarterback. So, is the Sabres different, though, for that? Because you don't have the event of the game. Like, even when the Bills would be 5-5 hosting the Jets, like, the event of the game was still a thing, and you just don't have that with the Sabres.
I agree with that. I think that at least, you know, tailgating kind of saved that in a lot of ways, right? All the nonsense that we've talked about and seen that has gone on in tailgating, and I always say this, like, people, I go on these radio shows you do, and people talk about Bills Mafia and jumping through tables and all the things that go on, the crazy, stupid stuff, and I'm like, look, that's not really what it's about, but here's what happened. Like, they're in this drought, and what you said, you're still going to the event because you want to go, but the football game's not the thing because the team stinks. So I'm going to be out here in the parking lot and just basically have a really good time because this is my outlet every weekend. And oh, by the way, while that was happening, cell phones with video came about, right? I mean, now we're putting all these things out there and it's going viral and everybody thinks that's what Bills Mafia is about. You're right. That's not the Sabres. I would also say, though, the difference is, and of course we see hockey on national television, it's not like football, though. It's not like these teams are in your face all the time. If you, like, to become an Edmonton Oilers fan, you'd have to watch them a little bit more. It's not like seeing the Pittsburgh Steelers on primetime every week when during the drought.
Right. No, that's definitely true. So, all that circling back to Toronto a little bit, like, Toronto, I don't know, for them it might be more of that, though. Right, like where the game is an event, right? Especially because tickets are so hard to come by there that if you get the chance to go to a game, it's like, all right, you know, they might have already clinched a playoff spot, but it's a Friday night in March and they're hosting the Lightning. Like that's their Bills game, I think, is it, without living there, you know, that's the perception, is that's their Bills game. So I don't know. I think it's probably You live that existence in Toronto because you'd still have hope. You still have the superstar. You still feel like, you know, well, we've got Matthews. Well, we've got a couple of these other guys. Maybe not all of them will stay, but there's this talent level here where, all right, if we just do this different, or if we just do this different, we just fire this coach and bring this guy in. Like, you might always feel like you're one step away which I think is very different than where there have been times with the Sabres where it feels like they are 15 steps away.
That's right. And now the Sabres, another new head coach, Lindy Ruff, and of course, Jeremy and Joe had Lindy on this morning. You can check that interview on demand, WGR550.com. We are still kind of reading all the analysis about draft grades and, you know, draft, you know, just kind of great, like I said, grading or analyzing the draft, I should say. And I think that for the most part, like I haven't seen people going all in on the Bills draft was great. The Bills draft was horrible. It wasn't that. It's still the talk of how did you let Kansas City go up there and take Xavier Worthy? I think that generally the consensus is the Bills got some pretty good football players here. We understand what they're doing. They added their wide receiver room, but where were more wide receivers? That's what I've seen. I don't think I've seen any wild takes about how, like, the picks themselves, Joe, were either, oh my God, they're amazing, or oh my God, they're horrible. Anybody who says the Bills had a poor draft generally revolves around the trade they made at 28 to allow Kansas City to go up. Not even they traded at 28. That is, it was about Kansas City.
I would. Those are the two biggest complaints, right? Is one, you only drafted one receiver and you traded with Kansas City. I think those are the two things.
I think so. Yeah. One of the teams that had a really good draft, apparently, just based on value, a lot of people say is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yesterday, did you see from who was it? One of the former Steelers. There was a former Steeler who said this.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He said, he tweeted out, and I got to go back and find this, who it is, that the Steelers are about to add a significant offensive playmaker, and now other media in Pittsburgh's like jumping on and going, yeah, that's not true.
it's going to be Zay Jones.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. I've immediately seen people connecting him there to Pittsburgh. But Ayuk is probably the name people think of the most. Okay.
Bryant McFadden said it. He said, here's the tweet. Ooh, Omar is working. The Steelers are very close to landing a significant playmaker.
Okay.
And then other people are like, I don't think that's true. And then some people are, the biggest reply is, okay, please don't tell me it's Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, right. What does significant mean? It is worth pointing out that Ayuk tweeted at Mike Tomlin Like, his only tweet in the last, like, 2 years was he came out of the woodwork to tweet at Mike Tomlin, you know, something about Pittsburgh. So, you never know. Like, that could be the move, but Pittsburgh's also not usually a team like that, are they? Who has Pittsburgh ever been the team that goes and trades its number one pick for a star offensive playmaker?
Generally not, but they have operated differently this offseason by trading for or by landing Russell Wilson, by trading for Justin Fields. I think they've done some different things this offseason. Deontay Johnson, right? Was that who did they trade?
Yep, Johnson, they traded
Deontay
him
Johnson, right? I mean, this is just they've operated a little bit differently, a little bit more aggressively, so I wouldn't necessarily kind of dismiss this notion. All right, I was on BetMGM last night with Trista Crick and the folks over there, and twice now I've been asked by that panel a question that my answer hasn't changed. I want to throw that at you, Joe, a little bit later. But when we come back, Josh Furlong, who covers Utah sports, is going to join us here on the Northtown Extra Point Show, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're going to talk about the addition of Cole Bishop and Keaton Bills, the offensive lineman. Stick with us here on a Tuesday on WGR.
Often smile.
Pressure again. Runs away from it. Throws on the run. Caught! Touchdown! Dalton Kincaid!
So last year, the Bills make Dalton Kincaid their first pick. They trade up for him, the tight end out of Utah. He had a fantastic rookie season, of course. I mean, steps right in. He breaks all sorts of records for, you know, Bills rookies, and it's really one of the most historic rookie seasons ever in the NFL for a tight end. Before he stepped on the field, we had Josh Furlong join us. Josh actually covers Utah athletics and is the sports director of KSL.com Sports. He joins us again because the Bills drafted Cole Bishop with their second pick out of Utah and also reportedly are going to sign an offensive lineman named, appropriately, Keaton Bills. Josh, it's Sal here in Buffalo. Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks a lot for joining us again. We appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here.
All right, man. Well, the Bills draft Cole Bishop with their second pick, a safety. It seems like this is a guy that's very, very smart and probably really kind of fits into an NFL defense, especially like one like Sean McDermott, pretty well. But how quickly can he do this? What did you see from him at Utah?
Yeah, Cole is one of those guys. He's a student of the game, honestly. He loves film. He loves to get in there. And I know sometimes you say that about some guys and they don't really love it as much, but that's Cole. I mean, he really just wants to be the best player that he can be. He you know, a lot of people here call him kind of the baby-faced assassin because he looks like he's 12, but he'll come out there and hit you hard. And he's just a guy that whatever system he's going to play in, he's going to study it. He's going to work his butt off to be able to get there and do whatever is needed. So I'm really fascinated with kind of his fit there in Buffalo and kind of what he's able to do. I think he's got a lot of upside and he's still got a lot of potential there. And so I'm curious to see kind of how he's utilized, but he's definitely a guy that is going to have a great opportunity in the NFL, especially with the Bills.
Now, he played free and he played strong, and I asked him about that at his introductory press conference. Here in Buffalo, as with a lot of NFL teams now, they're interchangeable. There's really no difference anymore between the two. But he said early in his career there was a difference at Utah. Did you feel he was better suited for one role or the other?
For a while, it was more, you know, he would lay the blow. So there, a lot of times you put him as the strong safety, you put him in the box. They like to a lot of times put him in and kind of play him as a hybrid linebacker role. There was kind of question early on, too, is if he could put on more size, would he go play a linebacker and would that be his natural position? But I think he kind of stayed with that in you know, Utah and eventually kind of expanded his role into that free safety / you know, kind of whatever. Like you said, like it's kind of more of a hybrid role, and that's essentially what Utah has done over the last few years, too. So there's many times, you know, where he'd play in coverage. You know, he'd be up in the box and he'd try to go get a sack or something like that. So I think he's really versatile in what he's able to do and being able to kind of play whatever position they need him to play, knowing that obviously the NFL is changing more to a positionless role in safety. So he's able to do whatever. He can mix and match. He can lock it up with tight ends. you know, he can get up close to the line and do whatever he needs to that way. So, yeah, he's kind of pretty versatile that way.
What, in your opinion, would he have to improve upon to win or to just be a regular contributor right out of the gates here?
Yeah, it's one of those things where he's very instinctual and he obviously wants to go make the hit. So I think one of the things that he needs to still continue to work on is just maintaining coverage, maintaining kind of what the vision of the entire play is, and not just on the guy that he wants to go hit. He got much better at that, and I think, you know, with time he'll continue to get there. But there's definitely times where you see him, he kind of gets out of position because he wants to go make the hit or make the play. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because, like I said, he's instinctual and he knows what the plays are. He understands what the opposing teams are going to do. But sometimes that puts him out of position in a way that doesn't help if he needs to be that last line of defense and helping there. So if there's going to be the biggest struggle outside of just the normal rookie routines and different things that way, I think that's probably his biggest area of improvement, is just being able to maintain coverage, understanding where he needs to be at all times.
I think it was you guys yesterday, Joe, right? You and Jeremy. Jeremy brought up one of the knocks on him is his arms are a little shorter than what you'd like, so maybe missed tackles have been a bit of an issue, right? I think, didn't Jeremy bring that up?
Yeah, we talked about that. We saw that analysis somewhere. I forgot exactly where. But yeah, Josh, that like his arms are a little shorter, and maybe also what you're talking about going for the big hit, that his missed tackle rate was a little higher than some people liked?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think this is one of the things that, you know, his physical size in terms of, you know, wingspan or whatever that may be isn't going to necessarily be his strongest suit. But, I mean, if he gets the hit, you know, and that's going to be different in the NFL, right? But, like, if he gets the hit, he generally has a good consistency in being able to take a guy down or at least lay a significant blow that allows other people to get to him. But yeah, I mean, he's not that guy that, you know, you're going to have him reaching for some guy off the edge and he's going to be able to get him quickly. He has to square up. He has to be able to be there. He has to lay the blow in the correct fashion. But I mean, when he hits hard. So, I mean, that bodes well in the NFL, obviously. So I'm curious to see how that works and how that translates with the Bills.
Josh Furlong joining us on the West Her Hotline. That said, looks like he can actually get after the quarterback a little bit if you put him in the right spot on the line of scrimmage and let him go after it.
Yeah, I mean, he can hit those gaps really well. He's good in coverage to be able to disguise it and make sure that he can kind of get in and really just kind of mix up what he needs to do. You know, his defensive coordinator at Utah, Morgan Scalley, really loves just different disguises and trying to be able to utilize him, show him playing in the box like he's going to play a coverage and a tight end or different things that way, and then instantly blitzes him in for a sack. So, he's a deadly weapon. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, you really have to be on your toes with. He's always one of those guys that kind of finds a way to make a play wherever on the field. Obviously that wasn't always his role, but he kind of played it in a large way, like a linebacker where he can just kind of just roam the field and kind of do what he needs to. So, I think he's got that potential. I don't know that he has quite the breakaway speed in the NFL that maybe he needs to get, and maybe that'll continue to come, but he 100% can get after that quarterback and do some damage.
All right, let's talk about him and his high IQ and leadership qualities, because I believe the Bills really were after players like that this specific draft to replace all the leadership that walked out the door, and especially the two safeties they had here for 7 years, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. He might be asked to come in here and really kind of have on-the-job training to be a real, you know, big part of what they do on the back end, to call signals, understand the defense. What did you see from him in that regard as far as how well he could be acclimated to the leadership role that might eventually be asked of him here?
Yeah, Cole's one of those guys that he's not going to just step in and try to kind of take over, right? He's not kind of the alpha, so to speak. He comes in there, he's humble, he's quiet, at least in general settings, right? He's a really, like, polite person and really nice that way. But you get him on the field and he's very communicative. He's able to kind of really give that confidence and kind of give people in front of him that confidence that he knows what's going on. You know, he's calling out signals, he's calling out different things to be able to make sure that everybody knows. And so, you know, it's one of those, that quiet leadership kind of way. It's not that he doesn't show it. He definitely does. It's more of just kind of, he's going to sit back and listen. He's going to kind of digest it, understand what the playbook is. He's going to be one of the best guys out there that understands what's going to happen, and so that allows him to be able to see things better, obviously in the safety position. But then when he's on the field, he's 100% vocal. There was never any doubt and his ability to be able to kind of rally people around him. People respected him. People on the defense absolutely loved him and wanted him to be able to kind of be there. But he's not the guy that's going to just instantly jump out and he's going to try to demand attention. He's definitely a humble, polite person that just kind of keeps to himself in that regard. But yeah, I mean, he's easily going to be in the mix and want to make sure that his presence is known.
The Bills have not made anything official on undrafted free agent signings, but there's a lot of reports that Keaton Bills, aptly named, maybe the best named player fit for a team we've ever heard of because his name is actually the name of the team. Keaton Bills, an offensive lineman from Utah, reportedly signing with the Buffalo Bills. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, I mean, he's, like you said, that's the perfect fit. I mean, when it happened, I was like, well, no duh, he has to go to the Bills. So, but no, he's an older guy. I mean, he served a 2-year mission for his church and so that kind of set him back in terms of time at Utah. And then he played to his full senior year. And so he played a long time, but one thing with Keaton, he was a 3-year starter. He's very athletic in maybe not always the way that translates in terms of offensive linemen, but he's able to move, shift around. His hand placement isn't always the best, but he's always going to kind of give his best. I project him probably more as a backup with a consistent role there and maybe some playing time in the starting unit. But I think with him, his upside, probably he's already about there, right? I don't know how much you're probably going to be able to get more out of him. With that said, I think he's got the skill set. He's got the talent. He had a great offensive line coach that taught him the technique that I think he can be in a good system if he kind of gets that time. He's one of those guys that you kind of forget about him just because he's so good, and so you don't worry about him. It's just a matter of kind of learning the NFL system, learning what he needs to do, and just his age kind of being the biggest factor against him right now.
All right. This is important because even if he makes the practice squad, I feel like that jersey is going to be up in the team shop. It'll be a popular one. Yeah.
No doubt. Hey, Josh. I don't have no idea like how much you covered or plugged into it, but we're very interested here in Buffalo in hockey and a team maybe going to Utah. And it looks like it is obviously now the Arizona Coyotes. Like, what's the vibe there for the NHL coming to Salt Lake City?
Yeah, they're really stoked. I mean, it was one of those things that seemed to happen overnight. It was, you know, there was a lot of talk. Ryan Smith, the owner of the Utah Jazz, he made his, you know, intentions known that he wanted to get an NHL team, and they were expecting to go through the expansion route. And so there was always kind of like, okay, maybe in 5 years or so, or maybe longer, you know, we'll get an NHL team here. But then it just kind of instantly flipped, and the fan support here already is really high. I mean, people are really excited for hockey, probably more than I expected. We have a low level professional hockey team here, the Utah Grizzlies, and they're fine and people go out to it, but the reception was incredible. They sold out the Delta Center when they had their kind of little fan night, when they brought the team in to kind of welcome them. They were turning people away at the door. I mean, there was a lot of support. People are ready. They want to embrace it. They want another professional team and kind of show like, look, Utah is a place that can represent a lot of these teams. So I'm really fascinated to see how it goes when they actually play games here, but I have no doubt that, they're going to, you know, fill that arena. They've already sold out their allotment and more for season tickets. So It'll be interesting to see how it goes, but I think it'll be a great opportunity here.
Do you know, by the way, I don't know if you don't, that's fine. Do you know, by the way, is there part of this that they're trying to get an arena that's connected to their Olympic bid?
There was talks of that. So Ryan okay. Smith had kind of made some gestures that way as of right now. And I don't know that I fully kind of believe it. They've said they're going to use that money to just renovate the Delta Center and just kind of have that as the home of the Jazz and this NHL team. But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they still try to do it. Ryan Smith really wants to use it to revitalize some of Salt Lake and kind of get more of that fancy arena. He really likes that kind of stuff. He's a tech guy, so he really wants to be able to kind of showcase what he has and give the best for everybody that comes in.
All right.
Josh, thank you so much for doing this again. Who knows? Maybe next year the Bills have another high draft pick from Utah again, and we'll have you on. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Let's go 3 for 3 next year, huh?
All right, you got it. You got it. Josh Furlong right there covers Utah sports. Great job there by him. Joe, are you good at like Hot Shot, the basketball game at an arcade, Hot Shot?
I am, actually, I would say.
Are you good at skee-ball?
No, Definitely not skee ball. Hot shot,
okay,
not
well, maybe
skee
hot. Ball. Okay, maybe hot shot's more your thing. Because soon you might be able to make some money playing it.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'll explain when we come back on the Extra Point Show. Okay, Joe, I believe you saw this story. You talked a little bit about it. And maybe a lot of our listeners haven't seen it yet. But Dave & Buster's apparently is going to allow, get this, arcade betting.
Yep.
Betting on your own arcade games. Here's what it says from NBCPhiladelphia.com. Customers can soon make a friendly $5 wager on a hotshot basketball game, a bet on a skee ball competition, or on another arcade game. The betting function, expected to launch in the next few months, will work through the company's app. Okay.
All right. This is a further indication that nobody carries cash anymore, because otherwise you could just say, hey, I want to bet $5 on this.
That is so true.
Now you got to go through the app.
Oh, man. That's right. I'm one of those guys. I don't carry cash, but I always try to remember to have a little cash just in case. I'm like, what if I got to tip somebody? I always think about that. What if I got to tip somebody something? I'm going somewhere. I'm like, oh, I got to tip this person. So I always think about that. But or maybe you go somewhere and they just it's some, you know, smaller store and they want cash. It's better than card. You got to pay a little extra, whatever. I think about that. But to your point about Dave & Buster's, that is correct. This is another step in just like the whole, we just gamble on everything now. Just bet on everything. It seems like, I mean, the NFL is just so much embraced. It's incredible. We've seen that as well in throughout sports, but you also see, you know, them trying to kind of play both sides and control it as much as possible. When it comes to this though, particularly, like, I'm just wondering how to make sure, I guess, if you're not betting against the arcade itself and you're betting against a person, that's different. But if you're betting against the arcade, I've been to Dave & Buster's. I've been to a lot of these arcade places. I have a 10-year-old son. He loves going to things like this. There's always games where something happens where you figure out maybe how you can not necessarily manipulate it, but I would be worried that there'd be people who could basically take advantage of the system, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Would you would go skee ball over hotshot, though, for if you were going to make one of these bets?
I think so. I'm pretty good at skee ball.
Okay.
We could combine. You're hotshot, I'm skee ball.
Yeah. Right. It could be a four.
I have a secret in skee ball.
Two-game series. Aggregate.
I bank it. I bank it in skee. I don't go straight in. I bank it.
Bank it.
Take it. I'm right-handed. I roll it, and there's a spot right before the final ramp as it goes, and I try to bank it right off that, and it comes up, and then it more softly lands in the circle.
Interesting.
It takes a little bit of steam off it.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Different technique. You're banking it off the back? Is that what you said? You're banking
Nope. Off the side, but just before it goes up over the ramp.
I see. Okay. If you got that figured out, maybe that's the trick. Maybe that's the way to do it. I, meanwhile, for the hotshot game, like, I am one hand softly shooting while I already have the other, like, the left hand on another ball. Like, I'm going quick. Like, I'm going as quick as possible. It's analytics, right? The more shots you get up, the more, the higher the score is going to be, even if your percentage is a little bit lower.
Well, that's right. There's a game they have at Dave & Buster's where you take this, like, it's hitting like a gavel, and it goes up, but it's not like how strong you can do it. Because if it goes all the way up, it's going to come back down the light, right? If you get too much, it goes up. But if you hit the very top light, the exact moment, you're going to get like 1,000 points, jackpot. But if you go a little bit too much, it's going to come back down. I don't know if you do you know what I'm talking about? There's these lights. They go all the way up. And if
yes.
you hit it right, if I stop right at the top, that's perfect. But if it goes right to the top and then comes back down, that's too much. Or maybe you have too little. Anyway, my son, he's 10 years old now. Last year, he's like, Dad, I watched this video on how to do this. I'm like, okay, here we go, right? And he's like, no, no. So they have like videos and kids are watching these videos on secrets of the trade for all these games, of course. So he goes, no, I'm telling you, I know how to do this. And he kind of raised it up and he just kind of lets it go. A certain little bit of pressure. He didn't really push it down. He kind of let it go. Joe, I am not kidding you. No exaggeration. 3 jackpots in a row doing it. Watching a video on how to, and I'm like, but how do you know the exact pressure? He's like, I just watched it and I did it a few times and then I got it to the point where I knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah. It's the type of stuff that gets you banned from casinos. I don't know about arcades, but casinos, you would get banned for that.
That is correct. That's like card counting, I guess. All right, yeah. We'll take a timeout. When we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, I was on BetMGM last night with Trista Crick and there a couple other hosts. And one of the hosts asked me a question again, where he had asked me a couple months ago, and I feel like he was trying to validate his own opinion. And I'm like, nah, not really true. But I want to run this by you, and maybe I'm not thinking the right way about it. I'll explain all of that here next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. Now, if you can't go there, that's fine, but you still call and make an appointment to
dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.